The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second hour. Hope you're having a good day. We appreciate you being here. Hope you saw the Kirby Smart interview a minute ago. And let's get some reaction to that and everything else by going back to the phones and checking with G, who is in Atlanta. Hello, G.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I was calling about Coach Kirby Smart. I like him. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. But it goes back two seasons ago down in Baton Rouge when Jake Fromm was laying an egg that day. And you look at Nick Saban, the big Saban, he has good in-game coaching. He took Hurst out and brought Tua in. And that's how we were still trying to get our national championship when it's been taking us so many years to get that. But my point is, Paul, what you think about that? Do you think he's a good in-game coach? Because I think that if he would have played Fields that day, brought him in a relief, he might still have Fields on the team now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I thought we should have seen more of Fields a couple of years ago, but he didn't do it. And, yeah, I mean, there's been some criticism of Kirby in-game, especially the championship games. If you go back just to the...
He's got a big game to me right now. His status as a big game coach is going to hurt him.
But as soon as you say that, he's handled the Florida game very well. He's handled the Auburn games mostly very well. So he won an overtime game against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that he doesn't have some big game wins. He does. Notre Dame a couple of times.
Well, I'm talking about that NC, Paul.
I hear you. I mean, I think you make a fair point. Hey, Jim is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey there, Paul. I also listened to the Kirby Smart interview. I thought you might have thrown him a few softballs there, Paul. Up in Ohio Saturday, we're having Kirby Smart Appreciation Day. How the heck you ever let Justin Fields go is beyond me. Hey, I'm hoping this Halloween, Paul, you know, you got to wish the 69-year-old professor happy birthday.
Well, I will. Well, happy birthday. What are you? What are your plans for the night?
Well, I want to watch Knicks boys play.
Yeah, Saturday night. You have Alabama on. You have Ohio State, Penn State on. That's a pretty good night.
Yeah, it is. I'll be watching Nick on his birthday. That brings me to.
Oh, I forgot. It is Nick Saban's 69th birthday, and he gets to work.
He's the man. Good Buckeye. Hey, by the way, I have one question. I haven't figured out the answer to. I figured you'd know it. How the heck can Clemson continue to be ranked above Bama?
Well, I think sometimes when you start off at number one, and even though you're sloppy and wins like they were the other day, you're still dominating everyone. I know as somebody who I don't vote, but if I did, I would probably leave them number one until the Notre Dame game, and then see what happens in 2 weeks. If they beat Notre Dame on the road, I'd probably continue. Otherwise, and by the way, people need to realize these polls don't matter because of the college football playoff. They have virtually no meaning anymore. Hey, thanks for the call. How about Dan in St. Louis? Hello, Dan. You're on the air. Go
Hi,
right
Paul.
Ahead. Hey there.
Thank you. Hey, yeah, first time caller here, so
thank
I really
you.
Enjoy your show. But Mizzou's playing Florida this Saturday, and I saw in a paper like that Mizzou's like a 14-point underdog. But it seems like the Tigers usually do pretty well when they play Florida in Florida. And so I was wondering about that. And also, how many games does like a team have to win to qualify for bowl games this year? With, I mean, like in the SEC, what teams are only playing like 8 games? Is that right?
Well, the SEC is playing 10 games, and the rule this year is that you don't have to qualify at all. You're eligible. It's a one-time only rule. It makes no sense, but that's the NCAA.
Okay.
But here's why it was done, though, Dan. At the time it was done, You had about 28 teams that, or 35 teams that weren't playing. The MAC wasn't playing.
Right.
The Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the Big 10.
Yeah.
Now that everyone's playing, and you have fewer bowl games because already four or five bowl games have said we're not going to have games. I think more will add to that. So it's not going to be that easy getting in a bowl game this year.
Right. What do you think about the Tigers' chances against Florida?
I think there's a reasonable chance. I've heard Pitts is a little banged up. He'll be available, but he's coming off of an ankle injury. I think the COVID situation could affect Florida's energy level, but I think that's Missouri's chance to be able to get in that game quickly and really make it an exhausting game. I mean, what I mean by that is a fourth quarter game. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Sam is up next. Hey, Sam, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Sam.
Listen, man, when you were talking to Kirby said something about getting better. And if I had an opportunity to ask Kirby or tell Kirby what needs to get better, it would be this. And I would ask him to make this make sense to me. George Pickens is your best receiver. Coming into the game against Kentucky, your best receiver has 13 catches for 140 yards. That's it. He should be putting up almost 13 catches a game. You know, when you look at Georgia, here's the problem that I have with Georgia. Oh, we've got, and correct me if I'm wrong, we've got two elite receivers in George Pickens and Kyaris Jackson. We use one, which is Kyaris Jackson. We have no elite running backs, but we're using four and five. Why?
Maybe I can get him back back on and ask him.
You know, I mean, when you look at the game against Bama, we could talk about the play of Stetson Bennett all day long. But I go back, and if you turn the tape on, look at Sarkisian versus Munkin. He was whipped from a coaching standpoint. Bama game plan. Bama has two elite receivers. They got a decent third receiver. We've got two elite and a decent third receiver. Alabama schemed to get the ball in that big play guy's hands. We didn't. We just line our guys up and say, hey, go out, beat your man one-on-one. We have no route concept. We run nothing to try to get the ball to our guys. You know, and that just reminds me so much of Mark Richt. And I hope we're not in for another Mark Richt-type run because I love Kirby to death, man. That's all I got for you, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. I love Kirby Smart, but type of calls beginning to filter in here. I mean, where have you ever heard that before?
You know, Paul, you've been listening to these couch potatoes as long as I've been listening to you. All of them know so much about coaching. They want you to get the coach back on so you can ask them specific questions. But, hell, they got all the answers. We're talking about the couch potatoes. Hell, if they were sliced and diced, they'd be French fries. You know, Paul, am I the only happy fan?
You are.
I mean, I'm not disgruntled at all. My team's 3-2.
I'm
happy.
Do you know why you're happy?
Because it's just a game.
No.
And we appreciate the fact that we're having games.
Because your team should be 1-4. You're happy they're
no,
not.
No, they shouldn't be 1-4. They're 3-2. They shouldn't be anything but what they are.
Oh,
they've
come on,
earned it.
Man.
They're 3-2.
When did you become Mr. Happy Guy?
I've always been happy. I just kind of act disgruntled sometimes.
Okay, I wonder about that.
Conversation. You know, sometimes when you see movies, don't you see the disclaimers how these aren't real people and they're nobody you know, so don't come in and sue us and that kind of thing? I saw a movie the other day that I swear it's the Jim from Tuscaloosa story. And Betty Davis starred in it, and it's Whatever Happened to Baby Jane Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that movie?
I saw that movie as a wee kid, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Baby Jane did everything but complained her whole natural adult life. And speaking of Jim and Charles, now I thought Charles from Realtown was back. You done piss him off and him not call anymore? I mean, is Jim not calling? Is he quit again for like the thousandth time? I mean, are these two guys just disgruntled?
Yeah, we had a couple of really good calls. We had a couple of really good calls with Charles last week.
And they both say the same thing. You don't treat me right. You don't treat me right. Well, Paul, you don't treat me right, but you know what? I don't care. Ward and Meagle, 3-2, you have a good day.
We will take a break after that enlightening, inspiring call. We are coming back with more of your phone calls. We've already had Kirby Smart on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Quite a few more guests will be joining us, and we hope you'll stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Scott is up next from Little Rock. Scott, good afternoon. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just real quick, all the men out there listening, I'm sorry to jump off college football for a second, but Paul, 3 years ago, you had Mike Slive on, the former commissioner, after he had his prostate cancer diagnosis, and he was urging everybody to go and get tested. Well, I went. I was actually stage 4, and as of today, I am 2 years clean. PSA numbers are down to 1.6, and I'm just telling you, guys, listen, if you're having any urinary problems, go to the doctor. Catch it before I caught it, but I'm in a good place. And, Paul, I just wanted to thank you. I mean, Slive, you know, after Roy Kramer and stuff, I thought he was a great commissioner, but you having him on your show and him talking about prostate cancer has at least, if not extended, saved my life. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Scott, I can't thank you enough, and I say this, I feel like I can speak on behalf of the late commissioner who died a couple of years ago, and he
May of 18.
I can't tell you how much that story would have meant to him. You know, the last 2 or 3 years of his life, he dedicated almost all of it to the Mike Slive Foundation, which is exactly set up to promote what you just mentioned. And you know, there, and I know it's I'm glad you said it, because a lot of people, I'll put myself included, you know, nobody wants to talk about things like that, but he was so aggressive in spreading that word, and he would be just overjoyed to know that it affected one person. I know it's affected many, many more, but the fact that
I've been dealing with 2 years, and I wanted to call from the initial diagnosis, but I didn't know what was going to happen and everything. But as of today, evidently I'm in remission and stuff. So, look, guys, don't be bashful. There's no modesty in medicine. Paul, your wife's a doctor. You know this. Guys, go to the doctor and tell them what's going on with you. And get checked. It's an easy blood test for the PSA Amgen and just find out, because you don't want to go through what I've gone through.
Well, Scott,
so, thank you so much.
And you stay well, and we'll all be thinking of you, and I thank you again from the bottom of my heart. You've made a big impact on many, many people today.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, and by the way, what Scott said, it's not a big deal. I know we've all been there before. There are a lot of things about physicals that you don't want any part of, even though you have to. When you get your blood drawn, it's going to be tested. So, you know, just go to a doctor. He's 100% correct. Thank you again, Scott. Let's check in with Bob, who is in Georgia. Hey, Bob. Thanks for the call. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thanks. Don't take my call, Paul. Listen, I'm a former official. Way back when, retired. In fact, when I officialed, Larry Blakeney was the coach of this stadium. I don't know if you remember Larry.
I knew Larry. I knew Larry very well. I first met Larry when he was an assistant under Pat Dye at Auburn.
Yeah. Well, that's how long ago. I want to give you an amen. I have never met an official that cared who won or lost the game, ever. And I had friends that were SEC officials, too. And those guys go through a long and hard training period, and they try to do the best they can. When I did it, there was only four officials on the field. Now what, there's six and seven, so it's a lot different from now. And with the ability to do instant replays, it makes the guys look bad, but believe me, they do the best they can. And trying to make a decision within seconds to be sure you're correct is a difficult situation.
I want to just ask you, Bob, because I completely believe in what you've said, because I've had the opportunity to meet a number of officials. But, you know, for all the conspiracy theories, take us through for just a single play in a game in what you're looking for and how you would never have time to comprehend all the things that we think you would.
It's almost impossible to think about. The very first one against Auburn, the first one with the – I have – you know, that's – never seen it, I you know, ever. So when they blew the whistle, the play was dead. So it was what it was. Now the last one with the kick, that was kind of tough. I don't know that I saw the guy hit it, but everybody says they did based on the replays. But you know, to make that decision in a quick second, it's tough. It's very, very difficult. And I criticize people that criticize officials because they've never been out there. I mean, it's a heck of a job. If you got a minute, I'll tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
I was a referee in a little league game. That's how you got moved up in the ranks. You did the little referee games, you know, little kids, penalty every play. But anyway, this team didn't make it, and we blew the whistle dead, and I pointed the other way at the goal line. And I turned around, and a grandmother came up to me and said, "You don't know what the hell you're doing." And I said, "I'm sorry, what are you saying?" "I've been watching pro football for years. On every fourth down, they get a chance to kick the field goal." And I looked at her and I said, "Young lady, first of all, nobody could snap it, to catch it, to kick it. And do you see any goalposts behind me?" So, you know, those are some of the things that happen with the life of an official. It's a great job, and it's something that I took pride in. And everybody I know that refereed took pride in being an official. And thanks for taking my call, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. We mentioned, really, really interesting, we mentioned the story with Mertz at Wisconsin, who has tested positive. Great quarterback. What an amazing game he had Friday night against Illinois. Wisconsin is playing at Nebraska this weekend, and we will talk more about this with Adam Rittenberg, but there is a chance, according to reports, that game may not go off. Why is it important? Well, in addition to being a college football game, the Big Ten has no bye weeks, so they are really up against. Now they do have that final weekend, and you know, if the game was, but that game, that's too late to concern the Big Ten championship game, because it's the same weekend. So this is an interesting story to follow. First time we've seen it with the Big Ten. It took exactly one week of play for the 21 day. Out period to come back to bite them. Let's continue with more calls. That was really interesting there with the official. And let's check in with Frank, who is up next. Hey, Frank.
Hey there, Paul. How you doing?
Frank, I am doing great.
30 years since I talked to you the last time. Now, it's been a week. I got a friend down in Mississippi. We got a little bet going on who's going to buy supper after the Alabama game. How do you think on the Mississippi game? How do you think? Give me your overview on that right there.
Well, the game a couple weeks ago, I thought Lane Kiffin was phenomenal in that game in terms of how he called it, and I thought it was beyond embarrassing how Alabama couldn't defend it and just seemed so out of whack.
That's what I was thinking, too. I got another question, Paul, if you don't mind. My friend Jerry Burgess up in Colvin was gone. He's up at a body shop, and long-time Bama fan, both of us are. And we got to talk the other day, why didn't this shut the season down for the COVID thing, just postpone it to like the spring, like they did everything else? Would that ever have been feasible or anything?
Well, Frank, it was discussed, yes, but I think the people in charge felt like they could get this in, and you know, there's been plenty of casualties in terms of young people being infected. Fortunately, and I say this fortunately, that you know, very few, if any, have had any significant side effects. The number who have caught the virus is incredibly high. I mean, we're talking about as many as 35 Florida players in the last couple of weeks. I would bet if every school in the SEC or in college football revealed how many have already had it, it would be staggering. But the good news is, if there can be some good news here, the season's being played with minor interruption, and we're all enjoying what we care so much about. Now, you can argue the cost, but you can argue the cost of going to work every day or walking outside your house, too. Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We've already had Kirby Smart on. Number of guests will start lining up. I mentioned Florida, and we will head there next to find out what exactly is going on with the Gators. G. Allen Taylor is up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and it is great to have all of you here. We were listening to Dan Mullen during the break talk about the protocols, getting back, what's going on down there after 2 weeks gone. Alan Taylor joining us now from The Athletic. Alan, good to have you back on the program. Always enjoyed the conversation, so... Man, you've been busy lately. Take us up to today, and what's it look like down there?
Yeah, well, you know, you backtracked 2 weeks of that Texas A&M trip, and the day they got back to Gainesville, a few guys tested positive, and then a few more did on Monday, and then lo and behold, 2 weeks ago today, the Gators shut down football activity. They think somebody got on the plane, you know, with sniffles and didn't report it, and that's probably the source of that outbreak. Most of those guys, which I think got up to 25 positives sort of from that initial cluster, you know, most of those guys, based on the 10-day rule, are going to be back, right? And the ones who were exposed but did not test positive, well, they have a 14-day wait to make sure, you know, the virus doesn't show up. They're also close to being back, if not back. Now, since then, they've added six more positives over the weekend. Now, those guys, obviously... they're not going to be ready for Missouri this week. However, you know, most of that initial cluster should be. So now you've got the LSU game pushed back to the end of the season. You got Missouri postponed a week. And so after really almost, 2 weeks of non-activity, the Gators were back at practice yesterday, and they were planning to practice today with certainly a diminished roster, but it should be enough, as currently projected, to get to the SEC's 53-player minimum and meet those position group thresholds for, you know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and quarterback.
Yeah, Alan, I realize there's only so much you know being limited, more so than usual, but is there any way to gauge what this team's going to look like Saturday?
Well, Mullen plays it closer to the vest under the normal, most normal circumstances, which is one reason why guys in T-shirts on the field pregame now have to have identifying numbers on the T-shirts, you know, making the other staff work. So he's not giving anything away. And when I've talked to people inside the football building, you know, they're worried about a couple of spots. Guys, you know, that are contributors who are not going to be playing Saturday. So it's going to be a scale back group. You know, how much that affects the offense versus the defense and what they can do. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some diminished play calls there and have to do things a little more straight up. And it makes the game quite frequently, frankly, if Florida fans didn't look forward to before the season, well, now it looks like a pretty intriguing game because Missouri's better than anyone expected, and Florida is certainly not at full strength.
Yeah, and right around the corner from this game is the end-all, be-all game against Georgia. And I know there is always a tendency to look ahead because there's usually the time to look ahead this week. But just describe what the turn is going to be like from this game to next week. And then, the schedule gets a little lighter for, well, not completely, but Arkansas at home at Vandy. Can't get any better stretch than Arkansas, Vandy, and Kentucky. But the end of the season at Tennessee and LSU, these are critical weeks. Would you agree?
Probably so. I mean, I don't know if Florida can lose another game and win the East, right? I guess you could find a combination where they beat Georgia and lose to somebody else, and that would work. But you know, I think there's a pretty strong feeling that they need to win out to win the East. And you're right. Normally there's that bye week before the Georgia game, but all this COVID stuff created some shuffling of the schedule. And you know, kudos to the SEC for not leaving Georgia a bye week and taking one away from Florida and all that. So they did some shuffling on their end to sort of keep those games, or at least that preparation time, equitable. But definitely, I mean, you look at this game 2 years ago when Missouri came in there, and it was after the Georgia game. And I felt like that loss to Georgia sort of beat the Gators twice because Missouri came in with Drew Locke and just smoked them at the Swamp. Well, you know, this time the Gators haven't lost at the Swamp since that day 2 years ago to Missouri. So obviously they're trying to keep that streak going and set up a really big game in Jacksonville next week.
Alan, let's talk about a piece that you dropped this week for The Athletic about social media. It's so misunderstood. It's so controversial at times. But you dug pretty deep into how some college football programs are using it to their advantage.
Yeah, a fun piece because you find out that just like assistants and staffers don't know if they have a new job when a new coach comes in, well, some of these graphics people don't either, right? I mean, you look at Cody Vincent at Arkansas. He's a football-only social media graphic design guy. You know, after Chad Morris was fired last year, he's sort of sitting around waiting to meet Coach Pittman and wondering if he has a job. Well, he does, and not only does he have a job, he has a coach in Pittman who trusts him to do some fun things with social media, and they, you know, work with the athletic department, and that's why we have Sam Pittman wearing an eye patch and brandishing a sword after they, you know, knocked off Mike Leach in week two. I guess if you lose 20 straight SEC games, you deserve to have a little fun on the official Twitter account. And that's one of the things that, you know, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, you had coaches trying to tell players to stay off of social media. And now you've got, you know, official football accounts are sort of embracing it and having some fun because it's all about fan engagement. And you look at what they did with the Leach spoof and then suddenly Thomas the Tank Engine derailing after they beat the Lane Train. They even put the cute little ShamWow mask on Thomas the Tank to bring home the Lane Kiffin part of that. It even got Lane Kiffin to tweet back at them, you know, good job, and be creative about it. So they're having some fun on social media, and those, you know, people behind the scenes, you know, they do a lot of creative work that really resonates with recruits and fans.
Yeah, I mean, Kiffin just seems to laugh at everything, which is unusual. Leach has had some fun with it. He's also had some disastrous results. But how would you, in your reporting, rate various coaches, both pro and con, I mean, some just don't engage at all, do they?
Yeah, exactly. You got ones that just, you know, if they have a sense of humor, it never gets out of the locker room, right? Then you got other people who are really front and center, and you'd love to, you know, have a beer or a cocktail with them and talk about things. So I think we're getting to a point now where coaches sort of set a tone for what they want with social media, but due to time demands, I think they trust the marketing people and the creatives to you know, have as much fun or do as much engagement as they can within the tone they set. You know, I think it's like when you're at an ad agency and you're dealing with a client. Some are willing to be fun and some are very buttoned down, and I think we're seeing a little more fun spring into the social media side of things.
Alan Taylor with The Athletic, watching the continuing merry-go-round, which has become Florida football. Let's hope that part of it calms down. Alan, thanks again for coming on. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you, Paul. Enjoyed it.
You bet it. Conversation about the Gators as they get ready for Mizzou. That was not a game anyone thought would be a challenge for them when we first learned of the schedule 2 months ago. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More to come on a busy, busy Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Tom is in New York, and you are back with us. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good. We're doing well, thank you.
A couple observations from what I've seen so far, obviously, with the Big Ten just 1 week back. I feel that the comparing Clemson and Alabama right now is, I think they're the two best offenses. I think, you know, Ohio State will get better as they go. Georgia's defense, I think, is the next tier after that, but I don't know what they have offensively to compete with those three teams. And I just wanted to see who you thought would be that fourth team. Is it Georgia? I mean, I've seen enough of Notre Dame where I don't think they're consistent enough to be the fourth team, you know, if their playoff was today. And I have one more point after you.
Tom, the easy answer to your question is I don't think we know yet. Georgia does not look elite other than on defense. Notre Dame will be revealed one way or the other in 2 weeks. Penn State, which right. may have been a contender, is no longer. Hard right. for me to buy into. Yeah, I thought Wisconsin looked like maybe, but not anymore. And yeah, the wild card I think would be Oregon or Southern Cal.
Okay, Oregon. I guess we'll wait and see because I mean another week before they start. My point. I spoke to you a couple summers ago. The summer they hired Pruitt at Tennessee, Frost right. at Nebraska, and Chip Kelly at UCLA, and we discussed. And I said, Paul, who do you think got the best of the coaches? And two years ago, you told me you thought Scott Frost at Nebraska was the best hire of the three. Now, 2 years later, going into what we're going in COVID season, where do you think that stands now?
Yeah, I'm exasperated by Scott Frost's inability to break through, but I still think overall he's the coach I would want of that three. Chip Kelly has been an abject disaster. I don't know when I've ever been more underwhelmed by someone who I believed at one time was one of the best coaches in the country. But, that one time was like about 10 years ago.
And my last question, Paul, is are you going to have speak to the reporter about the follow-up with the Wisconsin situation? Whether that game?
Yeah, we hope to do that in the next 45 minutes with Adam Rittenberg. We certainly will.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
How are you today, sir?
Hi, I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I want to say something to help clear Cat Daddy and all the South Carolina Gamecocks about Will Muschamp. They defanged the cobra. What happens when you defang a snake? He gums you to death. But when Will Muschamp came to South Carolina, part of the deal was he was going to get rid of that potty mouth. Some of his intensity is gone. But with that said, I love the fact that he's trying. But can I say something real quick to the person in Ohio who says something about Clemson?
Sure.
Clemson has never been Alabama. Clemson has never been Ohio State. Clemson has never been Notre Dame. But Clemson has earned their place at the table. They're not old money, they're new money. But money spins regardless. And that person in Ohio State, until your Buckeyes beat Clemson, and yes, they probably should have won last year, but they didn't. They found a way to lose. Until your Buckeyes beat Clemson, put respect in your mouth when you bring up Clemson. Thank you.
Thank you. I like the sound of that. That was a great call. Aaron is in Texas, and you are on the air. Hello, Aaron. Aaron, you there?
Two questions.
Sure.
What's the odds of A&M making it to the playoffs? And I just seen where Taylor Lawrence is leaving the door open. Do you think that has to do with maybe who gets the first pick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come down on Trevor Lawrence and say I don't believe that, but I really don't. I mean, I think he's just yapping to yap, but he's good at that. I don't believe Texas A&M is going to make the playoffs. I think it's such a narrow path.
We'll have our hands full this weekend, I think.
What's that?
I said, I think we'll have our hands full this weekend.
Yeah, I do too. It's not impossible to run the table, but even if the Aggies run the table, they're still going to need a lot of luck.
A lot of other things would have to happen.
Yeah, I think it's wishful thinking at this point.
All right, I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling and. Let me try to squeeze another one in here. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hi, how you doing, Paul?
Mike, we're doing great.
Yeah, listen, did Kiffin get fined on that incident?
Yeah, $25,000.
Yeah. Well, I can't stand why the referee didn't see that call. I mean, you know.
Well, it's not even the referees, Mike. The referees can miss a call, but the guys that are in the replay booth should not miss that call. They have the time. All they need to do is send a message down to the field. Hold on a second. What's the rush? It's only an important play. Could determine the outcome of the game. And they didn't do that. That's the fault. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break. It's been a busy, you bet, busy 2 hours. Kirby Smart dropped by about an hour ago. More of your phone calls continue here and a number of other guests as well.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.